Testing. Testing.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone today. God is good. All the time. Man, remember that. Rejoice in it. We just had communion. Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of him. Let us never cease to remember what he has done for us. It's more than just dying on the cross. Because what happened during that time, all is eternally affected each and every life that accepts Jesus Christ. So I praise God for how great and how good he is. His power and wisdom far surpass what man can even think. Few announcements here today. Just a reminder for those that are members, our annual business meeting is this Wednesday, starting at 7 o'clock. So those that want to come, we're voting two board members in, and you'll see them on your bulletin, the four there. If you cannot be here for some reason, you need to get your absentee ballot in no later than September 6th. Okay, that's the day before. You can give them to Steve. Steve, raise your hand so they know who you are. You good-looking guy, you. So, will they see you also to get the ballots? Okay. So, see Steve to get the ballots and get them back to him. That way we can make sure they're part of the counting process. Praise God. Okay, women's ministry this coming Tuesday, the day before. You once again have your monthly meeting. Come out and enjoy it. It's a great time to be blessed by one another. And also that same month, you'll be having the PSF meeting on September 23rd. Come out and just enjoy the fellowship God has blessed you ladies with to get along and just worship the Lord. Praise his name. Also, Wednesday, September 14th, we're going to be having the mission, the girls ministry. I'm stuck on mission heads. Girls Ministry is having their badge presentation that evening. So those that come out, once again, it honors the girls that are being presented with those badges. September 16th, we have a busy month. Praise God. And we have family night on the 16th. That's the first, we're initiating our family night where we can get together. So come on out, bring a game that you enjoy playing and sharing so we can have a time of fellowship there. Also, I'm told we need nursery workers. So if anybody is interested, if the Spirit of God has moved you to be working in the nursery, see Ashley Bayabill. She will be able, she's heading that up. Also, I want just a reminder, two upcoming events is Trunk or Treat in October. If you want to participate in that, please see Rhonda. The earlier the better, right, Rhonda? She loves being prepared early. So see her as soon as you can if you want to be a participation in that event. Also, there's a craft show coming up in November. More to come. Actually, you will see a lot of the information in your bulletins. Also, men's ministry on the 24th of this month, we're having a skeet shoot. So, amen, amen. So those that wish to sign up on the sheet so we know how many guys are coming so we can be prepared that day. Any questions, you can see me. And Doug, you want to come on up? Doug wants to share something with us today, this morning. God has greatly blessed him and his wife, Bonnie.
Good morning, church. Glad to be here. I'll tell you what, me and Bonnie had a tough Thursday morning, right down the road here at stoplight. Coming to the church and lady broadsizes and flipped us over and Bonnie got out okay, but I was kind of pinned up in the vehicle, so fireman slid in there and got me out, but God, I'm thankful for that. I just want to thank everybody that has prayed and everything and it's called and all that, because it has meant the world to us. And I'm glad we got a church that really cares about the church family. I really do. And like I said, I'm so thankful to be here, because I'm going to tell you something. I saw my life come before my eyes Thursday morning. And I'm almost right back to square one when I first had this heart transplant, as far as walking and doing things like I had worked up to. But Lord willing, I'll get back to where I was. And Bonnie, I tell you what, I guess I'm trying to take care of her like she's took care of me. And it's been tough. And but again, I want to thank every one of y'all and everything for the prayers and all for us, and especially for the good Lord keeping us on this earth for a while longer. And hallelujah and amen and praise the Lord, because the Lord is good. And all the time. Thank you very much, y'all.
Just want to say, I want to just hit, there's evidence again of God's mercy and grace and Him hearing our prayers. Never cease to praise, brothers and sisters. We need your prayers. Pastor?
Thank you, Harry. And we do thank the Lord for His blessing and His touch upon Bonnie and Doug. We welcome everyone here today. Also, our live stream and our phone church. We welcome everyone here. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And we want to look at verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, He said to him, Yet lack you one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Lord God, I pray that you will bless us today. Lord, we know that we have already been blessed. And Father, we pray that you will continue to move and continue to minister. And Lord, we thank you for it all in thy precious name. Amen. The ruler who came to our Lord asking for the way of life was a prisoner of perishables. He had wrapped his heart and life around the physical things that he held title to. In reality, things owned and they dominated him. His question to our Lord concerning the way of life revealed the unsatisfied hunger of his soul. He who worships a false god will ultimately be disappointed by the object of his worship. Jesus perceived that the man's real problem and dealt firmly and thoroughly with the man's worship of material things. The man was unwilling to refuse or reject his false god in order to become a follower of Jesus Christ, but he refused. Jesus told this young ruler to sell all he had and to give to the poor, because he knew that his sin was covetousness. His sin was his desire for possessions. His sin was greed, and it could have been the possession of even somebody else's things, which of course is a harboring then of envy and jealousy. He was laying up treasures on earth rather than treasures in heaven. Lacking. Think about that word, lacking. Other known as missing, to be short or have need of something. The Greek meaning to that word lacketh is wanting. Bumper sticker theology sometimes is not on target. Let me say that again. Bumper sticker theology sometimes is not on target. Sometimes it misses the mark. Sometimes it's not sound, it's not whole, it's not solid, it's not firm. Let me give you an illustration. Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. I've seen it. I've used it. Maybe the person who dreamed up that sticker is an infrequent churchgoer. Someone might say, why get irritated over just a little thing like that? It's because of the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, it demands, let us go on unto perfection, other known as continue processing towards and progressing towards maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith towards God. Other known as, this is what he was saying there. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. So according to the Word of God, that saying is a direct offense of a command from the Scriptures. But the Bible demands that we go on under perfection, but let us go on to be mature, is what he's saying. So, what's the point? Too many churchgoers have long since forsaken or abandoned the demands of the Bible, resulting in a theological nonsense. What's sad is probably there are a lot of churchgoers who have read more bumper sticker than Scripture. You follow me? There probably is a lot more who have read books about the Bible than who have read the Bible. And you know as much as I do, that's dangerous. In fact, it's deadly. And the reason why is because the Bible is God's complete message to man. Scriptures show us the total revealed mind of God. I want you to share this with you. I don't want to ruin your day any more than I already have. But there is no further revealing that is coming. God did it all. God did it all. You might say, well, yes, but how about knowing him when he is coming? That's something we don't know, right? That's not been revealed of the day he is coming. But what has been revealed? He is coming. He is coming. God has said it all. It's all included in the Word. Just look it up. It's in His Word. I read the last page of the Bible and the last page of Revelation. I can't find a P.S. I can't. The old hymn had it exactly right with this lyric. What more can He say than to you He hath said? So God has told you all He is going to about living this life. Now it's up to us to read it and to do it. Everything in those 66 books are important to us. Everything. One man said to his pastor, "You surely make it tough to require us to follow biblical decrees, instructions, or commands. You don't let us stray one little bit. You don't let us wander around. You don't let us go off, get sidetracked. God hasn't given us options to be able to pick and to be able to choose from. Well, let's see here today. Tomorrow morning's Monday, and we get up. So let's see. I'll take commandments 3, 5, and 8. No thanks on the other ones. It's almost like the man who wrote the Internal Revenue Service a few years back said, "Dear sir, I have just received your brochure concerning your income tax service. It seems to me you are asking too much money for the services you offer. So I don't think I'll participate at this time. Please take my name off your mailing list." Good try with that one, right? And you know what? Neither will God. The IRS does not buy it, and God doesn't either. There are demands made upon us by Scripture. I want you to keep in mind, they're not requests. That they are not requests. They are demands. They are requirements. There are two persons responsible for your spiritual development. God has a vital part to play in this, of course. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Without God's supernatural part in the maturing process, we will not get past first base in spiritual matters. Now, the other person who has a part to play in your maturity is you. God is not going to do the work alone. He will do the work, but He's not going to do it alone. He must have a willing vessel to pour into. He wants to pour a lot into us, church. If you are obedient, if you're submissive and yielding to God's requirements, it will be amazing what happens in your soul and in your heart. Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, "The peach trees are richly endowed with fruit, but they do not grow already canned." God gave us the fruit. We do the canning. Trees do not grow furniture, even in this scientific age that we're in. We have the trees from them. We make the chairs. And so it is with spiritual life. That's it, church. That is it. God has given us the power and the Holy Spirit, so the ball is right back in our court. So why are we willing then to settle for minimum spirituality when we have such a limitless source that is available to us? we have it. If we go along with Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven, then we just bypass the Holy Spirit's power. We just short-circuited the Holy Spirit's power. What a cop-out. You see, the Holy Spirit gives to us spiritual mandates, authoritative commands, authoritative charges and decrees, directions and instructions. Sinning is out when we come into the body of Christ, when we are born again, right? It is an absolute no-no. Here's the scripture in 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, does not practice sin. You see, the seed, which is the Word of God, cannot continue to practice sin. You say, but it's impossible not to sin. You miss the mark altogether. With all the power of God available for our life, it is possible not to sin. So here's the point in this. Here's the point. God has made it possible for us to be overcomers. Thank the Lord to overcome temptation, to resist Satan, and to see our lives picked up out of the habitable gutter. You don't have to bow to that weakness. You don't have to give in to that habit. 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God transforms people. God transforms people. Hallelujah. He had this first transformers. He sets them free instantly. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we understand it, is not psychoanalyst. It isn't. Psychoanalyst is disciplines that treat the mind. Self-commands. And that's not what it is. It is the power of God unto salvation. That's what it is. The power by which every hellish chain and shackle that binds the soul can be broken in a moment of time. The same God who spoke the words, let there be light, is the same God today who speaks words of freedom and peace to the human heart. How? We confine and set bounds and limits God when it comes to His dealings with our personal lives. Some are convinced that our sins, like diamonds, are forever. Some people are convinced that, well, they're just always going to be here, so. They grieve and moan that they will never be conquered. They will never have victory. Church, if that sad situation is true, then why does Scripture require us to go on to perfection? Maturity. That would be a harsh and unreasoning, I believe, requirement of man if the power of God were unable to purify and empower us. But the fact is, as Peter reminds us in 2 Peter 1:3, God's divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We are not excused for the weak efforts. No matter what reason we even try to offer God. I believe that some think when they get saved, that's all. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. I said that prayer. And buddy, I'm done. I'm ready now. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything else. That's how they look at it. They find that the wonderful experience of the new birth is that the open door leading out of Egypt to the promised land. But Paul said, press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. With the goal in view, I press on. For the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus, I press on. While instant purity, as far as God is concerned, comes to us at salvation, instant maturity does not. Purity does, maturity doesn't. Now we grow up in God, ever advancing towards the prize of our high calling. You see, the ones who go by the words, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven, we may ask, where is the high calling in that? Where's the high calling? Where is the presentation of our bodies as a living sacrifice? Holy and acceptable unto God. Where is the seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Jesus said to the rich young ruler, one thing thou lackest. To us He might say, you are missing a whole warehouse of spiritual stuff. God has a lot for us. And considering the spiritual light that you and I have been given, wouldn't that be a tragedy to waste it? Have you ever thought what will be revealed on that great and terrible day of the judgment seat of Christ? We know, according to 1 Corinthians 3, every believer's earthly work will be tried as if by fire, to see what sort it is. So if a person lives by the bumper stick theology of this present age and stand before the holy presence of God and watch carefully by the six-winged cherubims and the flank by the sevenfold flaming revelations of the Holy Ghost, how can anyone endure that hour who has failed to have an unquenchable thirst for God, which results in an unquenchable love for righteous living and a passion for the lost. Missionary C.T. Studd said this, how could I spend the best years of my life in living for the honors of this world when thousands of souls are perishing every day? So what is the one thing we do so desperately lack in this Christian world? What is it? The answer is one word, and it's passion. We lack passion, which is love, which is desire, which is enthusiasm, which is zeal. We must have a passion for holy living. A passion for reaching the lost. A passion for overcoming Satan. A passion for the moral cleanliness of Christ's church. And if we have that kind of a passion, there will be a light. There will be a fire. A love. A desire for God. We will be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the things of God, working day by day for perfection in Christ. And we can get by without a fancy building. Hear me? Nothing wrong with fancy building, nice building. There's nothing wrong with it. But we can get by with a fancy building. We can get by without the comfort that some churches have. the most expensive instruments that money can buy, the best communion set that is offered, the finer things that a king may have. But we cannot get along without men and women who are disciples, who are committed, who are sold out to God. With such people, we can do all things through Christ. Aren't you so glad? Without them, we are just terribly, terribly lacking. So in closing, are we content with minimum spirituality? Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto the rich young ruler, yet lackest thou one thing. Wow. Wow. I don't want to be in his shoes. I don't. And I know you don't either. So stay. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your touch. I thank you for your help. I thank you for moving and ministering to us, Lord. Father, if there's one here today that says, I lack it, I pray your touch upon them right now. Let your Holy Spirit move and minister in their lives. And Lord God, I pray right now, Lord, we know that, Lord, you bless people. We know that. Lord, but I thank you that the things that you bless us with do not rule us, and they are not our God, but you are. And Father, I pray you'll touch us. Lord, I know, Lord God, that the hour is coming that you're going to be coming back soon. Help us to get our life straightened out with you. Help us, Lord God, to get our walk with you. And Lord God, I pray right now that you would so move and so help us. In Jesus' mighty, holy, and matchless name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Have a great day.